You're listening to KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. This is So There I Was, Spokane's story show, telling interesting stories from interesting people. Think of it as an audio documentary of Spokane, told one person or two people or three or four people at a time. We're joined by one such person today, joining Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi, everybody.
And myself, I'm your host, Neil. We are joined by Mark Morris. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. And this is not your first time on the show.
No, apparently, like a lot of other people in my life, you guys have poor judgment and keep having me back.
Well, you keep contacting us, so...
We're passive-aggressive that way. It's like, can we put up with them for an hour?
Well, yeah. and if you do ask, we will let you on the show. We're weird that way. Yeah. Just weird that way.
I like that. Can we put up with them for an hour? That's actually more than my ex-wife could do.
Oh,
So you guys have lasting power. That's impressive.
We have stick-to-itiveness.
Well, what was your ex's limit?
Our limit was, my limit was when she started dating my best friend. Her limit was apparently just after I left to go to work. So, you know, it depends on perspective.
It's good to hear you have boundaries. It's good to have boundaries. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. That's a red flag for sure. Mark, tell the people, if they haven't heard you on the show before, thank you for tuning in now. For those people who haven't heard your voice before, catch us up. Give us a little bio, if you will.
Oh, geez. And you know, people keep asking me for these lately. I am I'm a truck driver and a stand-up comic here locally in Spokane. So I get to say ridiculous things all over the country and deliver much-needed goods and equipment all over the place as I do it, which is a lot of fun. I am actually performing all week in town, and then Saturday, which is the day after this is going to air, Saturday I am on the road to Pensacola, Florida, where I will also say ridiculous things.
Oh, that's awesome. So it's a mutually beneficial relationship that you have with your job. You get to work and earn money, but you also get to travel all over the country doing stand-up.
Yeah, you can either look at it as a symbiotic organism or a virus. I guess it
Laughter
depends on
is
your
infectious.
Perspective.
Yeah.
So, are you driving to Pensacola, Florida? Are you gonna?
It's a long walk, Neil.
I thought we just got done establishing this. Yeah, Neil, he is
actually
a truck driver.
As of this morning, I went to Moses Lake, picked up a piece of equipment, and I'll deliver it Tuesday of next week in Pensacola. And Tuesday night, I will tell jokes in Pensacola.
Where do you rest? Where do you get your rests? How do you...
I do that. Once I get the truck rolling, I just climb into the back. I just...
It's autopilot.
I don't know if it has autopilot. I'm bigger than everyone else.
Sure.
Tie the steering wheel off and let her go.
Oh, that makes sense.
Ooh, good luck everybody else.
Yeah. If you see a big red thing coming at you really fast between here and Pensacola, just move.
Just let it go.
Way. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you're getting your rest, though. That's important.
Well, you know, if anyone has seen me perform, they know I need all the beauty rest I can get. At this point, I'm about 16 years behind, and I don't think I'm catching up. So,
but who's, you know, who do you compare yourself to? 16 years behind who or what?
Well, no, 16 years ago, I was much more attractive than I am now, is what I'm saying.
It's
a downhill. It's a downhill run at this point.
Well, age does that to you.
Yeah.
You know, I got to be honest. I'm a big guy. I don't even mind the fat and ugly stuff, but this getting old stuff was not what I signed on for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's I'm actually doing a whole bit lately about my chiropractor.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you do chiropractic. That's good.
That's one of the things that I was doing while I was in town this trip was letting a very cute lady beat up on me, which is not that different from when I was married.
Yeah, sure. Right. But you get more pleasure out of this?
We'll go with that. Okay. Sure. Yeah. I don't pay alimony from this. So that's the big deal.
That's right. And it is healthier. So do you feel better?
Absolutely. And I gotta say I finished that whole set of jokes with it is helping, because you know at this driving truck is hard on the body. Mm-hmm. I don't just drive a big van type truck. I drive flatbeds, so I actually have to crawl around and work on the stuff that I'm hauling around the country.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more physically demanding, and it beats the heck out of you after a while. So.
Yeah.
I really much prefer standing in front of people and saying ridiculous things. That is only painful for them.
It's very cathartic for you.
It's, you know, it taps deep into those. I save like $50 an hour in psychiatric fees.
Yes.
Yeah. So the only downside is I don't get the Thorazine and I'm locked up like I used to. So.
Sure, you don't get the good stuff, right? What do you eat on the road?
Whatever grazes in front of me that... Honestly, I do a lot of snacky. I eat a lot of trail mix, kind of thing, because you need the energy food to keep rolling. That's part of my physical problems is I don't eat healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You grab one meal a day if you're lucky. Subway is everywhere, but it's horrible.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. I don't know if it was a joke or not, but I wholeheartedly agree.
I'll balance it out a little bit. I like Subway.
No. I mean, as far as like a sandwich is so much better than a burger, but there are so many better sandwiches than Subway.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. Yes. But you're right. They are everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're ubiquitous.
Yeah, which is, I blame Jared for that and a lot of things. So did the courts. So that's.
There's that.
Oh, yeah, I wonder what that guy's up to now.
Well, he was convicted. Was he?
He's in prison. Matter of fact, he just got beat up in prison because he tried to hire people to protect him that apparently didn't like him. So the moral of the story is if you're going to pay a bodyguard, you better pay him really, really well and make sure that they're ambivalent at best before you let them close enough to guard your body.
Wow. Yeah. So what happened?
You guys are local and in communications. I just listen to the radio. apparently he tried to hire like four people because, you know, people that do what he did aren't real popular in prison.
Yeah.
And one of the guys he hired said, no, I'd rather just take you out. And they put him in the infirmary. So.
Oh, shoot.
And part of me is like, well, that's just not good for anybody. And part of me, the dad part of me is like, get him.
Yeah.
So
it's good to know that prisoners, there is some kind of ethic there. There is, you know, they even draw a line, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It sound that, boy, this is going to sound really appropriate. I've actually spoken in prisons. I wasn't in trouble. I was actually invited for other reasons.
You were the guest.
Yeah. They have a very strict moral code. Matter of fact, I had a lady friend that worked in the prison helping provide medications and services to inmates that needed it, and they were really clear. That lady was protected anytime she was in the walls of that prison by everyone because there's a certain code. You don't mess with the people that are actually taking care of you, and especially not a lady, which was kind of weird. When you're backed up against a wall in a prison yard and the prisoners are in front of you telling me, don't worry, we got you. And I'm like, well, I'm sure the guards do too. They're like, yeah, I wouldn't be so sure. So, yeah, you know, interesting moments.
Yeah. Were you scared at all when you were in prison?
Honestly, I wasn't.
Okay.
It sounds kind of funny because none of the guys that I ran into made any bones about being there for good reasons or not. But they were all very, what's the word I want to mean? I mean, they were very matter of fact about, hey, we did something wrong, but you're here to do something right for us, so we got your back.
Yeah.
So I really felt pretty comfortable.
I can totally see how that would be.
But I'm also kind of a nut, so.
Yeah. Right. The evil don't fear the crazy. No, the crazy don't fear the evil.
Yeah, I actually have a joke where it's like, even crazy doesn't mess with crazy.
Yes.
And that's part of where all that stems from.
Yeah.
So that's the nice thing about comedy. You draw on experience.
Did that give you any material, your visit to prison?
I haven't written that stuff yet, but I mean, I'm only a year and a half into comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just starting to really tap into those really deep, dark, insane moments that were so much fun at the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure eventually, yeah, there will be those jokes.
Why did you get into comedy? How did you get into comedy?
You know what? It's a crazy story. First off, I always enjoyed comedy as a medium, as an art form. But a couple of professional comics that I went to their shows, I got the opportunity to like chit chat with, and they suggested I do an open mic. And then a couple of years later, I knuckled down and said, you know what? It's a bucket list thing. Let's get on stage and say ridiculous things instead of just saying them on the street like normal.
Yeah.
And and I caught the bug. You know, there have been moments in the last year and a half around the country where you've got a room of 100 to 200 people laughing when you want them to. That you really feel like you're where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And even if that's only once in a year, that's a great feeling.
Yeah, I bet it is.
What was your favorite show you've done so far? Or one of your favorite shows?
Oh, God. Anyone that they laugh is always on the, okay. on the plus list. You know, there have been a couple. I think I've said this here before. There have been a couple places where I got to do stuff. Like the House of Blues in New Orleans. The Second City in Chicago. Where it was open mic or showcase shows, which isn't a huge deal in the comedy world. But just those places have a certain history that's really cool. Lately, I'm actually booking and producing shows. So being able to perform in a place where my main responsibility is getting other comics that are much more talented than me to come in and being responsible for getting them paid work. Is a real special treat for me.
Yeah, you mentioned that before we started recording. You've gotten into the production side of things. Now, how did that start?
Like everything else in my life, by accident. honestly, I just got done doing a show. I was telling Heather a little bit ago. I worked Sunday at the Riddler Piano Bar for Dees Casillas from the Social Hour podcast. And Monday, I did a show that I produce at the Buzz Coffee House Bar and Lounge on Thor, which is just a showcase show. I bring four comedians up every month on the third Monday of the month to do 15-minute sets. And the great thing is all the comics on that show get paid for the work. We get to do sets that we don't normally get to do in most open mic kind of setups. I walked in there one day because they were following me on Instagram, and I literally asked, why are you following the biggest non-entity in Spokane comedy? And the guy asked, are you a comic? And made me tell him a joke and said, okay, yeah, you're a comic. You want to do a show here. 5 minutes later, we had a show set up. I had a guarantee to get some comedians paid, and that show has been successful both for the venue and for comedy. Matter of fact, I've got comics literally arguing with me in order to get on that show. It's booked to October at this point.
Really? And yeah. So when can somebody catch that show?
Every third Monday of the month at 8 p.m. at the Buzz Coffee House Bar and Lounge, which actually, starting next month, they're going to have pizza ovens.
What? Oh, nice.
They're totally rebranding and changing into a new kind of a venue.
I noticed that even though it's called the Buzz, you can no longer get coffee there.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You can only get a different kind of Buzz there.
Well, no, you can get you can get a drip coffee.
Yeah.
But you can't get the frou-frou coffee.
Yeah, you can't get espressos anymore.
Is it a specific type of? Is it good drip coffee?
No.
This makes a difference.
Well, it started as a coffee house, but I'm going to guess they found more success being a bar and grill and a venue for shows.
Well, let's be honest. It's Washington. You can pretty much, you know, throw a cat in any direction and bounce it off of 7 coffee shops.
Yeah.
But in that part of the area at the bottom of the hill, bottom of South Hill over there by Thor, you don't have anything else.
Right.
So they do a poetry night. Every Tuesday night they're doing trivia. They're trying to make it a great little bar and lounge area that you can stop in, enjoy some good food, and various entertainments on any given night. I know the comedy night, we're averaging a minimum 20 to 30 people.
That's great.
That's good.
The room itself doesn't hold over 60 or 70 people comfortably.
It's pretty sizable, though.
It's the way it was originally set up, it wasn't that great, but they've done an amazing job of expanding their usable space. So it's getting, it's actually, it sounds weird, but it's getting bigger all the time.
Yeah. So we are talking about the Buzz Coffee Shop, which is off of...
It's on Thor?
Thor.
It's at 501 South Thor, across from Fred Meyer.
That's right.
If you guys want to come out, please do. Parking is available at everywhere around that place.
For free.
For free.
Yeah.
And the show itself is free. There's no cover. It's just a 2-item minimum. And if you can sit for an hour and a half of comedy without having a couple of drinks, you're a camel.
Yeah. And that is every third Monday.
At this point, yeah.
At this point, yes. And at this point through October.
Yeah. If he says we're done early, I'm going to sick all the comedians on him.
Okay.
And they are a motley crew. Yeah. So.
And we're talking to Mark Morris, just to remind everybody who we're talking to. Mark Morris is a local comedian, amongst other things. And that was your Monday night show. Now, you say that you produce 2 shows.
Yeah. The other one, now, this is the one I'm really excited. And it's not, this is one of those I don't have a guarantee through Friday. But this Friday night, actually the night that this is going to air,
Friday at 1. It's Friday at 1 right now.
It's Friday
now.
At 1 right now
right
as you're
now.
Listening to this.
Possibly.
Which means.
1:19-ish.
Which means at this moment, you have lots of time to get ready and run to Rockford, Washington, which is about 20 minutes south of the valley.
Okay.
Down 27. To the Harvest Moon restaurant, where Harry J. Riley, the top comedian in Spokane, is headlining for free, no more than a 2-item minimum, at a place with great food and drinks. And it's going to be an amazing show. I'm really excited that Harry agreed to come out and do it.
Harry's great. He's hilarious.
Yeah, you haven't seen him, he's headlined the Spokane Comedy Club. He's opened for John Caparulo. He's opened for... Louis Anderson. Matter of fact, in February, he's opening for Lori Kilmartin, which is one of my favorite lady comics. She's a staff writer on the Conan O'Brien show. So this is not open mic night. This is a top area comedian coming out and doing an amazing show for no cover.
What's the place's name in Rockford?
It's Washington. Called the Harvest Moon Bar and Grill. Restaurant.
Harvest Moon.
And what was the time on that show again?
8 p.m.
8 p.m.
And like all comedians, we do not like to work late, so we're 8 to 9:30. You can go out, have a great show, and still have plenty of time to listen to music, hit karaoke, go to the Coeur d'Alene Casino, and spend more money. If you don't want to do that, I will stand at the door and allow you to hand me money.
Because it's pretty much, you know.
Yeah, you know, we'll cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the casino, you have a chance of winning, but what are your chances really?
Well, and I don't want to take away from any Native American groups, but as a Puerto Rican redneck, I think we're underrepresented. And if you want to pay me just because, I will gladly allow you to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, talk about underrepresented. You're the only Puerto Rican redneck I've ever met in my life.
There's a few of us.
Okay.
We usually get together and watch NASCAR events. Cause, yeah. Orale, let's watch NASCAR.
sure.
What is NASCAR?
The cars go in a circle, and they, it's all left-hand turns.
Left-hand turns.
And then occasionally a crash.
Occasionally. Occasionally a deadly crash.
Occasionally a fatal crash. And boy, isn't that exciting.
Well, isn't that why they watch those? I mean, let's be honest.
Okay, I have to admit, coming from where I come from, I knew a lot of people that were very into NASCAR, and that was a very true statement. Like, they watched it every time it was on just because it was, and that was their thing. But man, when someone crashed, they were glued to that television.
Yeah.
That's
makes you question there.
That's why people slow down at accident scenes, which as a truck driver I desperately love.
Yeah.
But
it's a little harder to shift down and slow down a truck. So
It's a little more difficult.
You got a little more inertia, momentum.
Well,
you.
For me, that's not either. It's more difficult for me because what I really want to do is just hit him.
Yeah.
So it's more of a moral dilemma on my part that makes it more difficult. Really slowing it down, the brakes and the engine do all the real work there.
Okay. Sure. No, it's. I mean, you have some strength. It takes some strength to shift a semi truck. Isn't that right?
Like, actually, that's kind of in today's modern equipment. I can literally shift my truck with three fingers.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
And they're built for me to get in it and drive thousands of miles at a stretch. So I probably am far more comfortable in my Peterbilt than you are in your average Hyundai. But I tell people it's a lot like driving a really big Pinto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
unsafe at any speed.
So my morbid curiosity wants to know, in all the miles that you've traveled, what is the worst circumstance you've come across? Have you seen?
I've seen a few. I know coming across New Mexico one day, I saw a semi-truck on the far side of the road in the opposite direction. There was nothing left from the midway point up the front of the hood all the way back to the driver's seat. Somebody had apparently gotten on the freeway in the middle of the night, drunk, going the opposite direction. And in that state, it's like a 75-mile-an-hour speed limit. So the point of impact was probably something 140-plus miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. And the driver walked away, but, I mean, there was nothing left of the car.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, you see that kind of thing. You never want to see anybody injured in an accident when you do what I do. It's kind of hard to have a lot of sympathy for somebody that put themselves in that position.
Yeah.
And I've had friends that are drivers that, I mean, as a semi driver, the first thing I did when I learned how to drive truck is I understood there may come a time when I'm going to have to put my life at risk in order to save somebody else. Because you jump in front of me and lose control, there's not a lot I can do at 80,000 pounds.
Yeah.
If I hit you, you're done. So it's kind of a rough spot. That's why drivers tend to be tense and grumpy.
That's fair enough, though.
You know, that and, you know, the whole ex-wife thing always made me grumpy to begin with.
Let it go, kids. Mark. Let it go.
The kids, the bills.
Oh, yeah, you have two kids. Is that right?
That I know of.
Okay. You do travel around the country a lot.
They do claim me still, as far as I know. So, yeah.
And how is it? Have they ever seen you in stand-up? Have they ever seen you perform? Or
they haven't seen me perform per se. They are my first and worst receptive audience for the clean jokes.
Okay, yeah.
A matter of fact, my 16-year-old has heard me do a set of jokes on the ex-wife because, well, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
And she heard those jokes one time and she goes, "Dad, that's not right." I'm like, "Sweetheart, now those are just jokes." She goes, "Oh, no, they're funny. It's just not right."
Yeah. I laughed, but I didn't like it.
Yeah. And every time I visit my girls, I write new jokes. They are my greatest source of fun material. Matter of fact, I'm hosting the or I have hosted the open mic show this week at the Comedy Club on Wednesday. And I did all kinds of new kid jokes that night. It was great. The crowd loved it. So did I. My daughters want royalties. So
they want their points. Yeah, sure.
I actually have a joke called the $25 joke.
Okay.
Because my youngest daughter did not like me telling that joke. It's based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And she got upset that I was telling the joke. So I told her, okay, what's it going to cost me? And she says, $25 should do it. Didn't even blink. So it's nice to know that my kids can be bought and cheaply.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know. What, $25? That's,
I mean, oh, that's
expensive in my world.
I'd have gone 30. Oh, okay. I really. That's.
She should have aimed high and then you could have bargained.
Exactly. Yeah. You know.
You do have to leave it open for negotiation.
I didn't teach her that at the time, though, because if she's selling herself cheap, I want to be able to take advantage. But
we're not going to go.
Yeah. That's.
Stop it.
You must be very proud, though. You must be very, very proud.
I'd like to state for the record that Heather is the one that went dirty with that and blushed. I had the purest of motives in that statement.
I don't even know what she's laughing about. It's all over my head.
Boy, you should come to the...
We are on radio, gentlemen.
I'm hoping that you caught that show on Wednesday because, wait, yeah, if you haven't heard the 10-year-old wingman joke, you'll love it.
Okay. yeah, I'll have to hear that joke. I can't imagine a kid would be a good wingman, but who knows? Babies are.
Well,
are
if good. Puppies work well, I'm just saying.
Babies work well for men.
Yeah.
For women, it's the exact opposite.
That's
right. Actually.
That's very true. Yeah.
Well, like, not always, but no, the ones that get attracted to that, you really don't want that.
No, 100%. If I am if there is ever a time I am approached by someone with my children, it's just this look of like, are you serious? Obviously.
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't want a sandwich. And no, thank you.
Yeah.
I walked a dog. I was dog sitting this last week, and this dog was he was a fighter.
Yeah.
And not a good wingman dog. I had to avoid everything, all other forms of life
we
even came close to this, because this dog was.
Was he a barker?
No. He's aggressive. A fighter. Like, obviously somewhere in his DNA.
Yeah.
You know, his ancestors must have been thrown in a pit somewhere.
Yeah.
This was a, yeah.
Well, that's sad.
That is.
He was nice to me, but
so does he just spend a lot of time alone?
No. He's okay around people for the most part.
Okay.
But for those of you that don't know, this is Dog Sitting with Neil. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, I'm kind of changing the subject.
No, it's good. Yeah.
It just came to mind when I heard Mark say wingman. We are talking to Mark Morris, comedian, truck driver, producer. What else? Do you have any other titles under your belt?
You know what? I signed up with it's a comedy networking group, basically, and they ask for like your bio and your credentials, and I am a comedian, I am a producer, a booker, a writer, which are all really fancy ways of saying I write ridiculous things, say them on stage, and know some people. That's it.
That's great.
It sounds so much more.
I love it. Yeah.
Official and important. And then I do it, and it's like, wow, really? That's what all that means?
I think that's true in any job title. Yeah. I think that's true with anything. Yeah.
What else? What else would you like to do? You mentioned you got into comedy because of your bucket list. Is there anything else in that bucket list?
Well, there's one that I'm not sure I'm ever going to be able to really fully attain, and that is live forever. But I'm working on the whole cyborg android chassis, because like a lot of comics, I'm a total nerd. And, you know, there's hope. But, you know, honestly, I've got kind of a really cool life at this point. I've gotten to mentor some amazing people through different things I've done. I've got two amazing kids that I'm incredibly proud to be their dad. I travel all over, North America. I've got two places in Canada that I need to get before I can just whitewash the whole upper part of the continent and say I've been there. But neither of those places are places anybody really wants to go. So,
well, you brought it up. What are they?
Manitoba, which I just turned down a load to Winnipeg, because once you go to Winnipeg, there's nothing. And I don't want to drive all the way to Chicago for free. And the other one is Labrador, which if, and nobody is going to know this unless you're a geography teacher. If you go all the way out, like you're going to go to Newfoundland and then go north, you run into Labrador.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like up way up top. And really, there's nothing I'm going to deliver that anybody up there is going to want. I'm pretty sure the penguins got things handled. And their polar bears are meaner than I am, so I'm leaving them alone.
Yeah.
Do they have comedy venues up there? Do you know? Is there a stage
in Labrador specifically?
Is there a stage in Labrador?
You know, I'm
is there a bar in Labrador?
I'm pretty sure there's probably a lot of bars in Labrador and not much else.
Yeah.
I know that there are great clubs all the way across Canada. I've actually been invited to check out a couple of things up there, but the timing never works out well for me. Like I was in London, Ontario, which is, to call that place London is just inappropriate. Yeah, there are people in England going, really? But I missed the ability to perform there by like 1 month. The month before, they had stopped doing that regular show that I would have been just perfectly on time for.
Aww.
So it happens.
Bummer.
Where's the most out-of-the-way place you've ever performed?
The most out-of-the-way place I've ever performed.
Yeah, you're wow. Like, I can't believe there's a stage here or a venue here.
You know what? A bar under a hotel in Pensacola was kind of a, that's one of those, really? Because first of all, you're kind of underground to begin with. And then you go into the bar and you step down. You could fill this thing and make it a swimming pool. So that was kind of a fun one. I think one of the most fun hit-and-run places I've ever done would be a better example. I actually worked at a club in Indianapolis one night, and I was delivering a load, but I couldn't deliver till after midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to town at 5. So I cleaned up, grabbed an Uber, ran downtown, did an open mic showcase show, ran back to the truck, drove across town, delivered my load, and then went to sleep.
Nice.
And then 6 a.m. the next morning, hit the road for my next delivery.
How much coffee do you drink?
Honestly, not that much, which scares anyone that knows me.
No kidding. I would need a thermos full of coffee every morning to be able to do all that, wake up at 6 and hit the road again.
So then what drives you to just keep doing this?
You know, I slept for the first 27 years. So I've just got, no, I honestly, when it's something that you really love to do, it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, the driving stuff is easy for me. I've just in the last decade with the company that I run for now, and I own my own truck and lease to a company here in the Spokane area, I've driven over 1.2 million miles. And the more you drive, the more you can drive. So that's the easy part. As far as staying up late and doing the comedy thing, I have been horribly broken and battered and hurt. But as soon as you hit that stage, mm-hmm. it goes away. You know, unless you're bombing, and then everything hurts. I mean, physically, emotionally, morally, you're just shattered. So that happens to me a lot.
Yeah.
And
so it can either be uplifting or soul crushing.
Yeah. Actually, I got to see a great documentary with some friends not that long ago called Dying Laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking people from like Jerry Lewis and Jerry Seinfeld to Kevin Hart talking about what it's like to bomb on stage, because we all do it.
Yeah.
And to hear them talk about that same exact soul crushing feeling. It's like, oh, okay, so that's not abnormal. I just have to suck it up. And then you go out and you do it.
Yeah.
Because there are those moments when I've had, like I said, I've been in a room with 200 people, and to hear them all laugh at exactly the moment you wanted them to. Jerry Seinfeld put it great in that documentary. It's a magic trick. I'm trying to get a room full of people to create in them an involuntary response on cue.
Yeah.
So it's not even like, you know, presto change-o. It's real magic to get them all to do what I want them to in the right moment. So when all the cylinders are firing and that happens, it's just an amazing feeling.
I bet it is. We're going to remind the listeners who we are talking to. You're listening to So There I Was. We are talking to Mark Morris, local comedian, writer, producer, booker.
And all-around nice guy.
And, there we go.
An all-around nice guy. Yes. And becoming a regular guest on the show as well. You may have heard him here before. He's here in this capacity to mention his shows. You are a producer now. You're coming up in the comedy world here in Spokane.
Wow.
Although it doesn't feel like that. And you mentioned you may have more shows on the horizon, too.
You know, I'm hoping. You know, you hear a lot. In show business, people have this wonderful way of saying, we should totally get together and do this. which translates to, I am never going to call you again and you'll never hear from me. But this is the politest way I could think of to end the conversation.
Sure.
If it does work out, I mean, I would love at some point to be able to put together a few shows in a row so that I could get some good talent. I mean, higher tier talent to come out and spend a weekend in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls area, saying ridiculous things for fun and profit.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work on my end that I don't know I want to do. I find myself in a position. Several months ago, somebody said you should just start your own show. Because like a lot of comedians, I was whining about, man, I wish I had more stage time because mm-hmm. that's what we do. And I said, I clearly remember, I don't want to book a show. I just want to tell jokes. So now that I'm booking a couple of shows, I found a knack for it. You know, it's rewarding in that I've got a lot of wonderful people that are far more talented than I am that I get to rub elbows with. And an opportunity to get them exposure and work in the area is amazing, which is why the show, the third Monday night of every month at The Buzz, you can check out my comedy page at Mark Morris Comedy on Facebook. And every month I put out an events page for that show. And every week I put out a bio for one of the comics that's performing that month. And it doesn't sound like much. My little page has 130 followers. My daughter's Instagram has 300, which means she will be a better cult leader than I am. But my last month, the top comic for the month got 550 views on his bio.
Wow.
Between the various outlets that I'm posting that stuff through. So if they get any exposure and can possibly get work in the end out of it, that's a win.
Do you have any, do you do any YouTube videos? Is that a thing that you might do?
The thing, get links to some videos that like I do mm-hmm. On my page, but you try not to post too much stuff on right. free media when you're trying to get paid for saying things, for two reasons. Number one, it's the old, you know, why buy the cow kind mm-hmm, of a thing. Mm-hmm. We want people to pay to come to shows. The other part of it is my art is my expression. It's me on a stage. And the more I give that away, the more chances other people go, boy, that's really funny. What if I said it?
Yeah.
I'm not accusing of anybody being a joke thief, but sometimes unconsciously something gets picked up. I know I've got jokes that mannerisms, turn of phrase, mimic other things that I heard
mm-hmm.
Just because that's the way the human mind works.
Yep.
So
we just absorb what we are taking in.
It's a fine line in comedy, though, because there are certain jokes that are standards and all comedians can tell them, and they're kind of free use mm-hmm. kind of jokes. And then there are jokes that are definitely signature jokes for certain comedians. So there's that fine line of like, what can I tell and what can't I tell? What's mine and what is everybody's? But yeah, certainly there are jokes that you tell, Mark, that are specific to your life. And if you heard another comedian say it, you'd be like, oh, wait a minute, that's my life they're talking about.
There's you have a thing in comedy called parallel premise. Great minds think alike, twisted minds do as well. And sometimes people with similar life experiences will come to the same place. Like, there's an amazing comedian that headlined at the club that has a joke that as soon as I heard it, I'm like, it was brilliant. It was hilarious. In the moment, he's a big guy. And all I could think is, I can never do anything like that joke now because he's done it.
Yeah.
And those are actually kind of bittersweet moments. On the one hand, I was there to watch this guy do a great joke. On the other hand, I will never be able to do that great joke.
Yeah.
But if I have a joke that comes close in premise, it doesn't mean I'm stealing their material. You can pretty well tell when someone's stealing a joke because the joke doesn't work as well.
Right.
You know, like I said, generally in comedy, what we're doing is us on stage or a character that we've created, and nobody can do you better than you. So I'm really lucky that way. Nobody wants to do me in any way, shape, or form. I can't even get somebody to help pay my bills at this point. So all of my stuff is pretty safe, I think.
Yeah.
Is there also something where the video, watching a video on a computer at home is not the experience of going out and watching live comedy? It can't replicate it. There's something lacking there, something
like missing. I said, what we're doing is we're eliciting an involuntary response spontaneously on demand. The hardest room to work is a room with 15 people in it when five of them are comedians. Because first of all, we don't laugh at anything. Okay. I'm not going to laugh at your joke and prove you're funnier than I am. Okay. I'm looking for the same bookings you are. Mm-hmm. And that's not like we're not calculated right, in that right. way. But when that's what you do, your mindset is you look at him and go, oh, that's a funny joke. But you don't laugh. In the same way.
You're studying.
When you have 300 notes. People, and I've seen this at the comedy club here in Spokane, when you've got that room full, it starts with two, and then the whole room is laughing. Because you've got permission in that room, everybody's doing the same thing. When you've got a small room of people, I don't want to be the guy that laughs first. So you're working uphill sometimes. It just is the way it is. I got a great video the other night of a set that I did. I mean, the quality, the angle, it was beautiful. Really small room, didn't have the response I wanted. Mm-hmm. And it could have been a great set. That set could crush in another room. But if I play the video where you only hear a little bit of laughter in the background, are you going to book me?
Right, yeah.
As opposed to that... I've got a similar set from the night before that's a horrible quality. It's a dark room. It's hard to see. Unfortunately, got a little too dirty that night. I don't want to use that video because the room was in. Everybody had a great time. You could hear the laughter. It was loud. But I don't want people to see me dropping F-bombs every time I turn around and not be able to see me on the stage.
Right.
So it's kind of a weird combination.
As you get to know stages, can you make a different set? Can you tailor a set? Like, I know I'm playing this stage. I kind of know the kind of audience there, the kind of reception I've gotten before. And do you change your set around
according to where? Absolutely. Yeah. Tonight when I go to Rockford, I for those of you that don't know, they're laughing because I am that funny. Tonight when I go to Rockford, last time I was there, there are a group of people that aren't really used to comedy. So they don't know when to laugh. They don't know sometimes when it's okay to laugh. So I will tailor a set to that room that's a little more vanilla. It's, mm-hmm. you know, when you've got, I'm going to just come right out and say it. When you've got a group of people in a small town that are afraid that people are going to look at them like redneck racists, you can't do anything remotely racial.
Yeah.
Which sounds odd, but that's the reality. Whereas I can go to LA and I can tell some of the raunchiest, I'm not specifically racist, I hate everybody joke that I cannot tell in Rockford that goes over great down in the Inland Empire in LA.
Know your audience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The hard part is, like, for me lately, when you're running a show and you're the host, you're the one, first of all, going in cold. They're not used to laughing yet. They just finished their first drink, hopefully. and you're taking the temperature of the room for the rest of the comedians. So, you know, you learn your place and you go out and do your job. And if you get good enough at doing that, then eventually, if you get good enough, you get to do stuff like Harry J. Reilly and just go out and let it fly and everything sticks.
Yeah. We've seen Harry. Judged with Harry recently.
Yes, we've been on the same panel as Harry. Yeah, he's mighty funny. And you mentioned comedians don't laugh at other comedians. Harry is very good in that respect. He will. He's like your best audience.
Yeah.
You know, there is always anybody that does comedy in Spokane knows Harry's laugh.
Yeah.
And there is something so incredibly comforting about hearing Harry J. Reilly laughing uproariously in the background. Because I got to be honest, whether it's funny to anybody else or not, Harry is all in, which is amazing.
Yeah. No, he totally is.
Yeah.
So let's just, for the listeners again, well, I can't talk today, but everyone
so
knows
hot.
What I'm going
it's
to
so
say.
It's so hot. I've been sweating. I'm just ready to pass out. I've had problems talking all day.
Where's the beer in
thinking,
the water?
And oh man, that's, it's all inside me right now.
Yeah. For the record, guys, it's 120 in Phoenix. You got it easy.
I know.
But the name of the
place
is Phoenix.
What else are we
going to
complain about?
Phoenix, of course it's going to be hot in Phoenix. Phoenix rises from its own ashes. It better be hot in Phoenix. I would never want to go to a place called Phoenix and have it be cold. That would just be weird. It'd be like going to a town called Penguin and it's hot. No, a city or a town named Penguin should be cold.
There has to be a,
Phoenix should
be a city
hot.
Named Penguin.
Well, there is a Phoenix, Oregon, just outside of Medford.
Oh. See.
Which is like nestled right up at the bottom of the mountain for Ashland.
Huh.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, they get cold there.
Yeah.
I bet. You're right. It's like, this just shouldn't be okay.
Right. This is not right. It was like London, Ontario, right? A tiny place called London.
Yeah. You blinked three times. You missed London, and there is no tower there.
There's no clock.
No. The Queen doesn't even admit that place exists.
Any bridges?
I suppose the overpasses might count.
Oh.
Sure.
Okay. So there's a little something.
Oh, yeah. You know.
This is comedian Mark Morris, and we are going to let you guys know where you can find Mark, I think, is probably an important thing to talk about.
Maybe in real life and then in virtual life.
Yes, yeah. So first, let's give some credit to your shows. You're producing two. You have the comedy showcase at The Buzz Coffee House, which is at
501 South Thor, across from Fred Meyer, who is happy to have you park in their parking lot if you want to come see our shows on the third Monday of every month at 8 p.m.
Be careful crossing the street.
Yes, do be careful, but it is free parking, so anyone who's used to catching comedy shows downtown, that will be a bit of a reprieve from, although they take place at night, parking's free at 7. I'm just rambling at this point, so, all right, that's every third Monday you can catch that comedy showcase, but what we are really excited about seeing is tonight.
Tonight at 8 p.m. at the Harvest Moon Restaurant in Rockford, Washington, I'm very fortunate to be able to bring Steve Johnson, who is an amazing local comedian.
He's funny, too.
To feature for our headliner, Harry J. Reilly, King Peppersnake himself. It's, once again, it's a no-cover show, two-item minimum, and the food is amazing, and the drinks are thick, from what I hear. I don't drink myself, but
right.
I saw a lot of people stumbling the last time I was there, so that's a
nice.
Good idea. That bodes well.
All right. Well, so that's where we can see you in person. If anyone just wants to have more information about you, where can they find you online?
You can find me at Instagram and Twitter at TruckerMarkM, all one word. And on Facebook, you can find me at Mark Morris Comedy.
All right. Well, Mark, as always, it was a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you for coming on.
It's great to be here. And thank you for support. For the record, I want to thank Heather for supporting live local comedy. She came out and saw me at a drinking debate where I got demolished early.
It was okay, to be fair, and this is a testament to local comedy here. That was an insane show. That was the funniest show I've seen live, online, on video. Like, I admittedly don't really watch a ton of comedy. Like, I don't watch it on like videos or anything like that, but man, I was in stitches that night. You were up against some tough comics.
Well, for the record, if anyone doesn't know, the drinking debate competition goes on every month at Spokane Comedy Club, and it's an improv competition where 5 minutes before you go on stage, two teams of three comedians each go head to head, having been given the topic 5 minutes beforehand, and whether you're pro or con. And that month I was up against four Hall of Fame people for that particular show.
Yeah.
And two of them right up. I mean, the guy that I was up against is an all-time Hall of Famer for that show.
Yeah.
And I felt really happy with my performance, even though I got demolished.
You had me laughing. So, yeah, it was a good show. You did really good. So, support local comedy.
Drink and Debate is the first Sunday of every month at the Spokane Comedy Club.
Yes, it is.
So, there's, like, comedy every night of the week, if you look hard enough.
Absolutely. And if you don't know how to find comedy and you want to laugh in Spokane, it's real simple. Go to Facebook, type in Spo Comedy, S-P-O, comedy with a K, all one word, and click on that page, and everything comedy in our area gets posted by the wonderful people that put that page together. So it's a great resource.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up another Friday of So There I Was. Your hosts, Neil and Heather, join you every Friday at 1 p.m. You can stream live at kyrs.org. This is...
So There I Was?
yeah, that's it. I just wanted to include you in that. Spokane Story Show. Thanks, Spokane. You're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3 FM.